Hello and welcome back to the show, Domestic Violence for Men. I'm your host, Andy Reyna. And guys, I just want to deeply apologize. I haven't really gotten any content out there lately. I just been dealing with a lot on a personal level. And I just want to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And I promise you, I know I have before in the past. I promise you I'll be working a little bit harder on this. But outside of all that, what I really want to do is I want to, this particular episode I've been really thinking about lately. And the one thing I really want to focus on this episode is a term that people use a lot. And that term is used very generically in our everyday language. And the term narcissism, or being a narcissist, is used around a lot. And from my experience of being in an abusive relationship for 10 years, both physically and mentally, I could tell you that living with a narcissist is a horrific, horrific experience. And again, I just want to make it clear to everybody that I'm not a trained professional. I'm not a counselor. I'm merely talking from my experience. And I can tell you that it took me a long time to realize that the person I was with, the person I was married to, was a narcissist. And the way I found out was because I was accused of being a narcissist. And I went to counseling, did a lot of research, and come to find out that person was basically telling me everything about themselves. So that being said, what I really want to do is I want to jump into this. And the two things I want to talk about is, and I'm going to touch really quickly on narcissism. You can look it up for yourself. There's a lot of content out there, but be very, very, very careful when you look into it. It's a disorder. It's a personality disorder, and you can actually find it on the DSM. And if you guys don't know, the DSM is basically what professional psychologists, psychiatrists, they all get together and they kind of vote on what these kind of criteria are to meet in order to be, or in order for a person to fall into this criteria of being a narcissist. So what I really want to do is I'm going to touch on that really quickly, but really what I want to focus on are the effects that people have from being with a narcissist. And I can tell you, like I said, you know, I had physical and mental abuse going on, in my experience. And quite honestly, if someone were to ask me, which of these would you rather have? I would honestly just say, give me the physical aspect and not the mental aspect. So with that all being said, let's kind of touch on with the DSM. So I'm going to get a little academic here for you, a little blah, blah, blah stuff here for you. So we're going to run over this real quick. What the DSM refers to, or what the DSM says the criteria is in order to meet these standards of being a narcissist. So I'm just going to run through these real quick and let's kind of jump off here. So basically, being a narcissist or being diagnosed as a narcissist, you have to possess these sort of criterias, and some may be higher than others or may fall into a spectrum lower or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, somewhere along the line, if you meet these criterias, or if somebody you know meets these criterias, I would really venture to say stay away from them and run and get away as quickly as you can. Okay, so with that being said, let's get a little academic here, okay? So it's basically a persuasive pattern of a grandiose need of admiration and lack of empathy, beginning by early adulthood and present in varying contexts, as indicated by five or more of the following. I know I didn't read that well, but anyway. So let's jump into this. Number one, has a grandiose sense of self-importance. What does this mean? It means exaggerating achievements or talents or things that they've done or things that they've been a part of, but on a very grandiose scale. And let me think of an example here. Somebody who says that, I was fishing the other day, and when I go fishing, I only get the biggest fish that are out there. And when I know how to do it, and I know how to cast just right, and I know what lure to use. And if you're not with me, then, you know, you're not going to be catching the fish that I do. You know, that kind of stuff. Number two, is preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love. So from my experience, I can really tell you that the person I was with outside, yes, they were very attractive, but they really overdid their beauty, and they would dictate as to what love is, and how nothing was ever good enough for them, and nothing really met their standards. It would turn into an example of ideal love would be, if you don't do this, then you don't love me, right? What comes first, me or fill in the blank, right? Number three, believes that he or she is special and unique and can only be understood by or should associate with other special or high status people. So this means, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. I have to hang out with the cool kids. I have to put this persona out there of being something that I'm not. Number four, requires excessive admiration. Basically, bow down to me. Do this for me. As I sit here and I'm reading this, I'm thinking back to one of my situations. And if you guys have ever had a chance to read the five love languages, one of them was words of encouragement, I believe is what it was. And that was something that was used against me. So number five, has a sense of entitlement, unreasonable expectations of especially favorable treatment, or automatic compliance with his or her expectations. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? So unreasonable expectations of special favorable treatment. So meaning I should always be in the VIP section, or automatic compliance with his or her expectations, meaning you must comply with everything that I expect from you, or there will be hell to pay. Is interpersonally explosive, takes advantage of others to achieve his or her ends. Now, this is a good one. Because I can honestly remember, in my experience anyway, where there were two, actually there were several, but these two stand out to me, was she had a crowd in the house. It was me and the kids there, and there was another individual there, one of her quote-unquote friends, and how she had this breakdown and had to do this big long monologue of the things that she is the person that she is, and that nobody loves her, and she starts crying, and all these other things. The other incident was being explosive because people weren't complying to what she had said or what her expectations were with people in the home, children especially. And she ended up taking a wine glass full of wine and throwing it against the wall and yelling and screaming at the kids and calling everybody in the house motherfuckers and pointing at little children. And when I mean little children, I'm talking like 2 years old, and calling them motherfuckers. Number seven, lacks empathy, is unwilling to recognize or identify with the feelings and needs of others. Now, this is a good one, because I can honestly remember, and again, I'm just going back into my Pandora's box here. I can honestly remember asking her a question one time, and it was the question of, do you believe in unconditional love? And her response to me was, no, I don't. And that should have been a red flag for me. There's many ways to interpret that. I personally believe in unconditional love. I believe that if you have a child, you'll have unconditional love to your child. If you have an animal or a pet, you'll have unconditional love to that. So is that something that you can do? Absolutely. Can you have individual love towards adults in your life? Yeah, you can. You can. Now the other side of the coin, and some people will argue with this, is that, well, this person is, you know, a psycho killer. Should I have unconditional love for them? I mean, there are boundaries. Let's just make that perfectly clear. But in a, you know, healthy environment with healthy people, with very with people who have deep understanding and empathy towards each other, yes, unconditional love is absolutely achievable in my opinion. So with that being said, since we kind of went over the academics of what a narcissist or the criteria of a narcissist is, let's sort of jump into what the effects of narcissistic abuse has on an individual. Excuse me real quick. I need to take something to drink. So with that being said, the effects that people have, and this has been my experience, and again, I've had this verified through going through a counselor, is that, one, you will have self-isolation. You know, you'll pull away from others. You'll start trying to explain to people what's going on, and people will be like, you're crazy. Like, that could never happen. I would never stand for that. And eventually you'll start, you know, withdrawing on the inside and just pulling away. And that was something that I know I had to deal with. And I'm not saying that that's an excuse as to why I didn't get content out, but that is one of the contributing factors as to why I haven't really done much with the podcast here, is because I just kind of just dumped into this rut. And it's been very hard for me to get out of it. I've had to sit there and talk to myself time and time again to even get up and get to work and, you know, even go to the grocery store. And I would get high anxiety when I would have to, run and get something, like I said, at the store or whatever the case may be. And I'm still kind of dealing with that. So as a side note, I mean, if you guys have any kind of suggestions as to how to get anxiety or depression out of your system outside of medication, because I have tried that, please let me know. I'm really working on that. So yeah, you'll kind of drift off to yourself and just kind of pull away from everybody. And that's one of the things I know I've done. And I know the counselor told me to be aware of it, and I'm really trying to, work on that aspect of my life of not being so isolated and, trying to get out of that funk, if you will. One of the other effects is, you'll have effects of like PTSD. You know, you'll constantly be on edge. You'll be irritated. You'll be just running with adrenaline all the time. You'll wake up with nightmares. I've done that a few times. Actually, I'll share something with you. Is the other night I had a nightmare. I had a nightmare that my brother was kidnapped, and by people that were willing and going to hurt him. And I was the only one that he was talking to and was able to talk to. And I just woke up and just like a big like moment, and I was just sweaty. And didn't know where I was at. So that will happen. And then one of the other effects would be like this dark tunnel of reality that you get into. You start being bitter towards life. You start seeing life as this dark cloud where people are not good people and people are horrible people. And you start thinking to yourself, is this person out to get me? Yeah, they are, you know, or the way that they approach you or the way they talk to you or the way they interact with you. You start thinking mentally to yourself, like, you know, what kind of an asshole would say that? Or, you know, this person is horrible because of X, Y, and Z. So you start being jaded towards society. And, you know, these kind of effects, you really have to be very conscious of them. And that's what I really have been working on lately, of just trying to be conscious of these things and trying to pull myself out of this rut, out of this massive just state that I've been in. So, you know I said this a few times in here, but if you guys have any suggestions, please let me know. I know living over here right outside Chicago, the weather has not been the best. And I've been trying to get some exercise in, but the weather has not really been complying over here. It's been more like a long, drawn-out winter than it has anything else. So if it's not being winter, then it's raining and it's cold, which doesn't help out mentally in any way, shape, or form. The other thing I've tried is CBD oil, and if anybody's going to suggest that, I'm going to tell you right now that I've tried it, and I know you have to be consistent with it, and I was consistent with it. I was consistent with it for 2 months, and at first it seemed like it was working wonders, and then it just stopped working. So I don't know if I need to keep, in, you know, upping the dose, but I mean, if I keep upping the dose, then again, I might as well just go on medication, just because of the cost factor of it. And I know some people may suggest meditation and yoga. I've really struggled with that as well. But enough about me and my tirade. So I know one of the questions are, hey, you know, you've gone over all this information. You've gone over what a narcissist is based upon the DSM and their criteria. You've gone over the effects of narcissistic abuse, and I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, well, what do I do? So what I have found, and this is a rare gem, is that you have to really find a counselor who specializes in narcissistic narcissism, and there'll be a lot of them out there, okay? So then you got to put on another filter of that and filter the fact that, hey, have you ever been a victim of narcissistic abuse? And if the counselor has said yes, then that may be a person you want to gravitate to. They can really help you. I know in my case, that has been very helpful. You know, she has worked wonders in my life. And I'm trying to get back on track and trying to get some more traction. And the way it was explained to me is that narcissistic abuse or any sort of psychological abuse rips away at your core, rips away at your unconscious. So if you think about it, the narcissist will always put you in a state of high adrenaline. So when you're in this state of high adrenaline or fear or traumatic state, any idea that they plug into your head will then get into your subconscious and wound you, then that way they have leverage over you. They have control over you because they have now gotten into your subconscious. So if you guys think about it that way, it's very hard to undo what's in the subconscious. Now, am I saying that you will never be healed? No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that you can be better. There is a road you can go down to make life better. And that's the road I'm kind of going on right now. I'm starting to get some traction. I'm starting to see things in a different way, in a different light. There are times where I find myself just in this dark realm, And I sit there and I think to myself, like, you know, stop thinking that way. You know, you got things you have to take care of. You have responsibilities you need to take care of. And it's just oftentimes I just find myself of, excuse me, oftentimes I find myself in a state of having to sit there and really have a discussion with myself and just say, if you don't do this now, X, Y, and Z will happen. If you don't take care of this now, X, Y, and Z will happen. And quite honestly, I found myself a few times just, you know, being a slug. you know, and it's hard. And you got to have a great support system. You got to be around people who are going to be there for you. And most people, and I will tell you most, excuse me, I will tell you that majority of people do not understand what narcissistic abuse is, for one. They'll sit there and just turn it around on you and just say, well, you're making all this stuff up, which then makes you victim times two. They will not believe you. They'll sit there and feel for you, but they will not understand it because they've never gone through it. What I would like to do, and this is just something I've been thinking about, is, you know, start some sort of local group here that supports people from, especially men, who suffer from domestic violence. And you know, I'm right outside Chicago. And if anybody has any, you know, any sort of passion about it as much as I do, reach out to me. I would love to get some kind of group together, some kind of something where everybody that is on that level can have an understanding of where we're at, right? And try to get through all this. So with all that being said, again, I want to thank you guys for tuning into this episode. I want to really thank you guys for, you know, visiting my podcast. And if anybody is in any danger whatsoever, I suggest right now to stop listening to this podcast, you know, contact somebody, call the authorities, call 911. I don't want anybody to go through 10 years of hell like I went through. So I really want people to take care of themselves. I really enjoy, you know, you guys listening into and listening to me speak. This is not one of my fortes, so I'm really trying to work on it. But, you know, it's therapeutic for me. It's therapeutic. I'm really trying to work through this. So again, thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you for hanging in there with me. And I promise to you, I will get more content out. And with all that being said, may you guys have a great week, and hopefully I will talk to you soon.